So let's review. The previous Mishnah had mentioned that there were 13 bowings that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Our Mishnah here will define the location of these 13 bowings. Heichen ha'yishtach v'yisa'ela, where did these bowings take place? Arba b'tzafen, v'arba b'darim, shalish b'mizrach, v'shtayim b'mayiv. Four in the north, four in the south, three in the east, two in the west, corresponding to each of the 13 gates in the Beis HaMikdash. At each gate, they would bow to praise Hashem for the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. The four gates in the southern side from west to east were Shar Elyon, so called as the Har HaBayis was sloped upwards, and so this was the westernmost gate and thus the highest gate in the Beis HaMikdash. Shar HaDelek, through this gate, wood was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Shar HaBechairis, through which the Bechair Behemet Tahir was brought, which were Kachem Kalim and slaughtered in the southern part of the Azara. Shar HaMayim, through which the waters for Nisach HaMayim on Chol HaMoed Sukkos were brought. Blessed Rabbi Yaakov adds that it was so called also because through this shahr, water will flow in the future as per the Nevuah of Yechezkel HaNovi. The four gates in the northern side, from west to east, were Shar Yechanya, so called as King Yechanya exited through this gate on his way to being exiled to Babel. Shar HaKarbon, Kachikachim animals which were slaughtered in the north would come through this shahr. Shar HaNashim, through this shahr, women would enter who would come to do smicha on their karbanas or just to be there when their karbanas were sacrificed. Shar HaShir, through this gate, all the musical instruments were brought into the Azara. On the eastern side was Shar Nicanor, so called because of the famous story of the bronze doors that Nicanor brought back from Egypt, which also had two smaller entrances on either side of the main entrance. On the western side, there were two more gates which did not have a specific name. The Gemara explains that according to the opinion of Masechtas Midas, that there were only seven gates in the Beis HaMikdash, these 13 bowings were instituted to commemorate the victory of the Jews over the Greeks, as the Greeks had made 13 breaches in the Seirig, the outer perimeter of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Chashmonaim had closed them upon their victory over the Greeks. The Gemara now goes into great detail, elaborating on the Nevuah of Yechezkel, explaining how this water flow will come out from the Kachim in small trickles, then will expand to a more substantial flow, becoming deeper and deeper, and with a stronger flow, until one will not be able to stand in the depth of this water, and the flow will be so raging that a boat will not be able to navigate the waters. The stream will flow all over Eretz Yisrael, and flow into existing bodies of water, including the Kinneret, the Chula Lake, the Dead Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea. Upon reaching the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean, the stream waters will sweeten these bodies of water. Upon reaching the Kinneret and the Chula Lake, these bodies of water will enjoy increased abundance of fish and other marine life. The Nevuah continues, V'alanachal yala safasay mizeh u'mizeh kol eitz machal. Fruit trees will sprout up from either side of the stream. They will give forth fruit in a supernaturally quick manner. And even the leaves of the tree will be nourishing and healing. As the Pasuk says, V'alei l'trufa. Rav and Shmuel, and Reb Chanina and Reb Yeshua ben Levi, both interpret this Pasuk in different ways. Chadamah, Lahatr pe ilmim. One holds that the leaves of the trees will give speech to previously mute individuals. V'chadama lahatr pe akaris. And one holds that the leaves of these trees will bring fertility to previous infertile women. The Mishnah had listed one of the gates as Shar Yechanya, who was also called Yehoyachin, as he exited this gate on the way to Babel. When Nebuchadnezzar came to the Beis HaMikdash and asked for Yehoyachin HaMelech, King Yehoyachin went up to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, took the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, and threw them up to heaven, saying the following, Rabbeinu Shloim, L'sha'avar hayinu neman l'cha, v'hayu meftach hasecha mesurun lanu, achshav she'en anu neman l'cha, harei meftach hasecha mesurun l'cha. Hashem, if we are not trustworthy servants, please take back the keys. Some say that the keys never came down. Some say that a hand came down from heaven and took the keys. When other leaders of Yehuda saw that the keys did not come back down, as if to show that heaven consented to this, they too went up to the roof and plunged to their deaths. The next Mishnah explores the 13 tables that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah. Yud Gimel Shulchanos Hayu B'Mikdash. Ches Shel Shayish B'Beis HaMikdash. 8 of the 13 in the Beit Mikdash, which refers to the entire area of the Azar to the north of the Mizbeach, where the Kachim were slaughtered. Shalei Medichin Es HaKrevayim. The inner parts of the sacrifices were rinsed on these marble tables. Ubeiz b'marv hakevesh, two to the west of the ramp going up to the Mizbeach. Echet shal shayish v'echet shal kesef, one marble table to place the Evarim of the Karbanis before they were sacrificed on the Mizbeach, and one of silver to service all the Klisharis. Ubeis Ba'ulam Ibifnem al Pesach Abayis. Two more tables were at the entrance to the Heichel on the side of the Ulam, Echad Shal Shayish and Echad Shal Zav. The marble table was to place the new Lechem Aponim on the way in, and the gold table was to place the previous week's Lechem Aponim as it exited the Heichel. The 13th Shulchan was the gold table in the Heichel, which was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, upon which the Lechem Aponim rested all week long. The Gemara explains that the marble table was used to place upon it the hot bread, so that it should not get spoiled by placing it on a silver table. And while this was listed as one of the many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, that the bread of the Lechem Aponim never spoiled, and that it stayed hot and fresh all week long, still we did not rely on miracles, and therefore specifically a marble table was used. The Gemara brings another teaching about the Lechem Aponim. If for some reason there was no new Lechem Aponim for the coming week, the Lechem Aponim from the previous week can be left on the Shulchan for another week, as the Pasuk says, "V'nasata al ha-shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid." The Gemara now discusses 10 tables that Shlomo HaMelech made for the Beis HaMikdash that were placed next to the Shulchan that had been prepared by Moshe Rabbeinu. Asar Shulchanes Asar Shlomo, dechsev, v'yash Shulchanes Asar, v'yanach beheichel chamisha mimin, chamisha mismal. 5 of the 10 were placed to the right, and 5 were placed to the left. The Gemara clarifies. This cannot mean 5 tables in the north and 5 in the south of the Heichel, as the south of the Heichel is possible for the placement of the Shulchan, as the Pasuk says, V'sa Shulchan titin al tzela tzafen. And so it must mean 5 tables on either side of the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even so, the Lechem Aponim was only set upon the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda held that the Lechem Aponim was also set upon the Shulchanes of Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara in the next daf will explain that this difference of opinion is based on differing opinions as to how exactly these 10 tables were placed in the Heichel.